People of God, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We'll read chapter 1 of 1 John, that is verses 1 through 10. 1 John 1, 1 through 10. As John writes this passage to a church which had received the gospel, but is being attacked by many various strange and false teachings. And John writes to encourage them, to set the record straight, to encourage them in their walk, that they might know the truth and they might continue to follow Christ, even despite difficulties. And this is the word of God, 1 John 1, 1 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As we consider the created world around us, it's impossible not to see the fingerprints of the Creator. Even from here, I can see the maple trees and their beauty and glory, and how they exhibit evidence of their Creator. For all things, simply by existing, point to the one who caused it to be. And even in creation, we see other glimpses of God's power. Consider the might of a hurricane or a thunderstorm, his wisdom, as we consider perhaps the human eye and the way that it works, his goodness, his beauty. They're all on display in creation. We can't argue with the facts that we see before us. And as we consider even mankind, the pinnacle of God's creation, we could learn as well that God is a moral being, as we each have a conscience. We could learn that God is relational, for how could the Creator not relate more than the thing which he has created? There's so much that we can see from God in creation. Nevertheless, creation itself is, in another sense, not sufficient. It's sufficient to teach us about God, but not enough to teach us what we truly need. And the secular philosophers would agree with this. For example, the philosopher Immanuel Kant says there's these two worlds. There's the world in which we live, and there's the world in which God is and the ideals and truth and beauty. And he says, there's a wall between these two worlds and there's no crossing, none whatsoever. You cannot know what God is really like. You can't really know him. And all the philosophers agree, even if maybe there is a God, maybe there isn't, they would say. But you can't really know for sure. You can see all the evidence, but how can you actually get to know him? Well, you can't through creation. Creation doesn't tell you how you can really know God. It shows us that God is there. It tells us about him. But it doesn't provide the link that we need to know God relationally and personally. Now, This is a great, as in some sense, travesty. Because we all know that we long to know our Creator. We were made to glorify and to enjoy God forever. But creation doesn't let us do that. It doesn't give us the connection that we need. And so our hearts are empty and restless without this knowledge of the Creator. As Augustine said, as he prays to God, he says, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." We see the evidence of God. We see his beauty and glory in creation. But creation doesn't tell us how we can get to know him. It doesn't tell us how we can find joy that we've sung about in his presence, the joy of a fellowship with him. It doesn't lead us there and leaves us empty and lacking. And that's why John writes this book. We need something. We need that connection. And John gives it to us here. He writes this book to declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested to us. You see, and in a sense, you could say the philosophers were right. There is a wall, and you can't get beyond that wall to God. But God broke through that wall and came to us. The Son of God himself took on human flesh, was manifested in this world, and walked on these streets. God himself came to a lost people to bring the good news. And God speaks to his people through the word. In the former days, God spoke through the prophets. But in these latter days, the writer of Hebrews says, he has spoken to us by his Son. And the Lord Jesus is the culmination of this special revelation that comes to us, breaks through the wall, and shows us how we can have fellowship with God, our Creator. As John says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of Life. The Word of Life himself came from the Father. He is from the beginning. He is primary and foundational. It is that primary and foundational thing that we need, that we lack, that creation cannot tell us about, cannot teach us, cannot provide us with. And John says, that thing which we most need in this life, that connection with our Creator, the God whom our hearts were made to worship and to find their rest in, he has come to us, and we saw him, we felt him. We heard him speak. He came to us. And John's writers might have said, well, that's very nice for you, but he's gone now. How can we get that? He's not here anymore. And John says, you too can have this. Life was made manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You too, through the Word of God, can have this connection with your Creator. He was manifested, and he's not here in the flesh anymore, but those who were with him, who saw and heard, have written the Word of God, have set down God's special revelation, so that we too might have fellowship. The fellowship is not only with the other saints, and John says with us, fellowship with other believers, with the church, but it's not merely horizontal fellowship. It's fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It goes all the way up. This is the fellowship that our hearts long for, that we truly need. This is the rest that our hearts find when they reconnect with their Creator. You see, the evidence is there in the creation, but the way to the Creator comes not through the creation itself, but through the Word of God. And we have been given this Word so that we might have fellowship with him, that we might know him, so that we might fulfill our purpose in life. And John mentions here in verse 4, so that your joy may be full. we sang quite a bit about joy. Shout for joy before the Lord. Where does that joy come from? It's not merely joy in seeing the beautiful creation around us. It's joy in knowing the Creator. It's joy in having fellowship with the one that we were made to relate to. It's joy in knowing the one that we were made to glorify and enjoy forever, and knowing that we will glorify and enjoy him forever, for he has made us his people. We are united to him through Christ and by the Holy Spirit if we trust in him. He has broken down the wall that everybody else couldn't get through and come to us and given us fulfillment of joy and the knowledge of the Creator. But it's not quite as simple as that, is it? As we all know, if we were to go back to original premise that we look at the world around us and we see the beauty of creation, we see, as it were, God's fingerprints all around us, we know that there's a problem, isn't there? Especially if we look at the way that people relate to one another. This is a problem of sin. People are not relating to one another as they ought. We can see the brokenness everywhere in the world. Hatred, murder, envy, and all manner of different problems that manifest themselves. This is the problem of sin. This is the reason, as it were, why the wall is there. The reason why we needed God to come to us. And John here says in verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. What is the message? That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And John is speaking, as you can probably imagine, in moral terms. He's not speaking about physical light and darkness. He's speaking in moral terms. God is light. That's the message, you know, the first part of the message that we need to hear. If we want to have fellowship with God, we can't ignore the problem of human sin. We can't say, well, here's three easy steps to have fellowship with God, do these things, boom. But there's a problem, a hurdle to get over. The problem that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is utterly morally pure and righteous. And as we consider the world around us, we see that people are not. People walk in moral darkness. And even as we look into our own hearts, we see that we are not morally upright as well. We in our own hearts are bent towards sin and away from God. That's the problem that John deals with. And if we would overcome this problem of sin, or have it overcome for us, to have fellowship with God the Creator, then we must deal with sin honestly and openly. We can't simply skip it, bypass it, say, oh, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it. We must recognize the problem of sin and our own sin if we would have fellowship with our Creator. And as John wants to help us have fellowship with God, he brings up two particular pitfalls that people generally fall into in regards to fellowship with God and with sin. And what are these? We've seen that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We have this problem. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say, I know God, I have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we say, sin's not a big deal, I'll just go on sinning, I'll have fellowship with God, but I can go on sinning. And John says, that's not the truth. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. And John writes this to the church of his day because it was a problem in those days. The problem of docetism, a type of Gnosticism, which taught that you can have this secret, hidden knowledge of God, and you can have your sin and enjoy it too. You know, you can keep on living your life the way it is, and you just do these certain things, and then you have fellowship with God over here, and it doesn't matter how you live. You can live whatever way you want. And even though this idea that I can have fellowship with God and walk in darkness came in a particular packaging in John's day, doesn't mean that that's gone. That particular sect or philosophy perhaps specifically isn't with us today, but this same problem comes packaged in different forms and always has been and always will. The fact of the matter is, it's a very popular idea these days that you can have fellowship with God and still enjoy your sin. Sin is no big deal, people would say. Today, we see this around us, don't we? People say, I'm a Christian, I live whatever way I want, it doesn't matter. You know, or perhaps the appeal to ritualism. Well, you can live how you want, you can enjoy your sin, but as long as you go to church on these certain times and days, and you say these certain things, and you do these other things, and then you're okay. And even for believers, we aren't immune to this kind of thinking. We still can fall into these pitfalls, can't we? We can downplay sin in our lives. We can, you know, we don't like to deal with sin. We don't like to think about the fact that we're sinful. And so we push it aside. As long as nobody else sees our sin, we can move along pretty happily, can't we? You know, nobody else sees my sin. I'll deal with it later. I'll forget about it. I'll push it to the side. And we can end up with a variant of saying, I can walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. I can look good. I can be a Christian, go to church, and look really good on Sunday, and I just won't deal with my sin. It's not that big a deal. And John says, you can't do that. That's not who you are if you're in Christ. If you think that you know him and you are utterly unwilling to deal with sin and want to enjoy your sin, then he says, then you can't really know him. And again, even as believers, even though we know him, we still can fail in this way. We can not take sin seriously. We can put it aside and say, it's not that big a deal. John says, you can't do this. If you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's the first pitfall. Well, what's the other one? The other one is, as it were, on the other extreme a little bit, in verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the first pitfall says, yeah, I have sin, but it's okay. It's not a big deal. I'll just keep enjoying my sin and have fellowship with God. The other one says, what, me? A sinner? Well, of course not. I have fellowship with God because I don't have sin. And we recognize that this is a popular philosophy of today as well, isn't it? Just as it was in John's day. Think of the Pharisees. We're not sinners. That was their attitude. And even today, if you talk to people on the street, you know, why should God let you into heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good person, a lot of people would say. I'm not too bad. I've never robbed a bank. I've never murdered anyone, so I'm okay. That's this attitude. Now, as you can see, these two pitfalls are actually really different manifestations of the same lie, which is that sin's not that serious. The first one says, you know, sin's not that serious, so you can keep sinning and have fellowship with God. The other one says it lowers the bar so much on sin that we all sort of feel comfortable saying, I've made it. I can do it. The basic premise of this one is that if we're good enough, then we can know God. You can have fellowship with God on the basis and on the ground of your good behavior. But if we're honest with ourselves, this is going to lead us to despair because we daily break God's law in thought, in word, and in deed. And if we're counting on our own good behavior to find fellowship with God, to have that basic connection with our Creator, then we're not going to make it. We need something else. And by the way, I think you could probably demonstrate that all the philosophies and religions outside of true biblical Christianity fall into one of these two categories. Either they say, there is no such thing as sin, don't worry about it, or they say, yeah, but sin's not a big deal. Or they might say, yeah, there's sin, but you can be good enough, you can do these things, you can make the great. They all have to fall into one of these categories. So at this point, we ask the question, what can we do? Because if we say that we have no sin, in fact, the language is pretty strong. We say that we have not sinned. It's not, you know, not even saying, that, well, I don't sin right now. It's some people are saying, I've never sinned. I don't have any sin. I've never had any sin. And some people, perhaps, from verse 8 here, are saying that we have no sin. Right now, we don't have any sin. Okay? So if we say one of these two things, that we have not sinned or we have no sin, John says, we're liars. And we know it, probably, if we really are honest with ourselves. Yeah, we're sinful people. But if we recognize that we're sinful, then don't we have to recognize that we're walking in darkness and we can't have fellowship with God? Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's like we're stuck whichever way we go. If we say we have no sin, John says, you're lying. And if we say we're sinful, then we have to admit that we walk in darkness. Well, there is another option. We might say, what is the solution to these problems? How can we escape the horns of this dilemma, being trapped in sin? All the other philosophies and religions fall at this point. What is the solution? John says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with another. But how can I walk in the light? John, you just told me that if we say we have no sin, we're deceived and deceiving one another. How can we walk in the light? Well, if we read this carefully, we'll get a sense of what John is talking about. Look at verse 7. What does it mean to walk in the light? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And walking in the light here is for people who need the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. Walking in the light doesn't mean you've made the grade, you've behaved good enough. Walking in the light is for people who are sinful and acknowledge their sin and find the blood of Jesus that brings forgiveness and cleansing. As John is going to say in chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We need that. And that is the difference between true biblical Christianity and all the other fake worldviews. Nobody else has the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, who came and broke through the wall, walked on this earth. The one who died so that God's people might find forgiveness and cleansing. Every other religion and philosophy, you have to do it yourself. You either say, it doesn't matter, don't worry about sin, or you say, you can do it yourself. You just, you know, set the bar low enough and you can do it. We need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of our sin. And how does this work? He is the righteous one, the one who is both just and righteous to forgive us our sins. As the Lord Jesus took the penalty for the sins of his people, as he died on the cross, as his blood was shed, he takes our sin upon himself and he gives us his righteousness that we might have standing before God. So what then is walking in the light? If walking in the light doesn't mean that you don't have any sin, walking in the light is for people who know that they're sinful and need grace. Well, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think this is at the heart of what it means to walk in the light. Think about what is it? What's the difference between a room with darkness, total darkness, and a room with light? Well, you can actually see where you're going. You can see what's real and what's true. I think an important part of walking in the light here in John is living openly and transparently before God. Instead of pretending we don't have any sin, instead of pretending that sin's not a big deal, we confess our sins before him. We recognize that we are sinful and that we need grace. That's the first step to walking in the light. You can't walk in the light if you say, I don't have any sin. You can't deal with the problem if you pretend that the problem's not there. And so the first step is to come before him and to confess our sin, our need for grace, and our desire to do what is right. And this is what we call repentance. We turn away from our sin. We turn to Christ, acknowledging his mercy promised for those who plead the blood of Jesus. It says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us. He will make us reconciled to him, to make us his people, but he will also cleanse us of our sin. Again, you know, we could say, well, how is this different from somebody who says, oh, don't worry about sin. Sin is no big deal. You know, let's sin that grace may abound. Well, real repentance involves a desire to turn away from our sin as we recognize it for what it is. Walking in the light means knowing what sin is, that sin is bad, that we don't want to sin anymore. Yeah, we're going to sin. We daily break God's law in thought and word and in deed, but we don't want to anymore. We've seen it for what it is. And we've seen the sweetness of Christ and of the paths of righteousness that he leads us on. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Walking in the light involves recognizing our sin, confessing it before him, and asking him to change us. We plead with him. We say, you have promised you would cleanse us from our unrighteousness when we confess our sins to you. And we acknowledge that we are sinful. But you sent the Lord Jesus, whose blood was shed so that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed. And we ask him by the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in the ways of sanctification, we might walk in holiness. That is the only way around this problem. If we want to have fellowship with God, we can't do it on the basis of our own merit, that we are good enough, we've made the grade. We can't do it by saying, well, sin is no big deal. If we want to have fellowship with our Creator, we need the blood of Jesus, who is faithful and just. And this word just here is the same word that's often translated righteous. He is faithful and he is righteous. Not only is he upright, as we say, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all, but he is the righteous one, and we are given the righteousness of Christ. And so he forgives us and gives us his righteousness. And we don't go on unchanged, but we grow more and more like him. We're called to walk as he would have us. People of God, we were made to have fellowship with our Creator. As we look at the world around us, we see the evidence of our Creator. And yet it's not enough to tell us the way to him, the way to have fellowship with him. What do we need? We need Jesus, the one who broke through the barrier between man and God, the one who has overcome the problem of sin by his own sacrificial death on the cross. The one who is manifested to us and that we read of in the Word of God so that we might have fellowship. Our fellowship is with one another, the people of God, and it's with the Father and with the Son. If we would have this fellowship, then we're called to confess our sins before him, to recognize that we are sinful people in need of grace, even as we recognize that he promises us this grace. When we seek him, we will find him. That is the promise that we have. If you would confess your sins before the Father, come to him in prayer, you will find forgiveness and cleansing. And far too often, I think we forget this step. We perhaps understand at the beginning, as we go along our Christian life, we forget the importance of repentance. We tend to downplay sin. As long as we can carry on looking pretty good, we sometimes just forget about the importance of dealing with sin. And we go on and we look okay, and so we don't deal with it. And we end up falling into the trap of trying to get by on good behavior, trying to relate to God on the basis of our behavior and not primarily on the basis of the blood of Jesus. And John calls us back this morning. Your relationship with God is not founded on your behavior. It's founded on the blood of Christ. And so, people of God, we're called to come before Him in prayer regularly, confessing our sins and asking Him to forgive us and change us. And He will. That's what we're called to do. People of God, let's pray and thank the Lord for the forgiveness that we have. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that although we could not break down the barrier that separated us from You, that You did. You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank You that we have forgiveness through Him. We ask You that You would help us never to forget the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sin, that gives us a standing before You, that begins the process of sanctification to make us more and more like You. O Heavenly Father, even as we grow to be more like You, let us never forget that we are sinners in need of grace and that we have grace through Christ. Help us to walk openly before You, to confess our sins willingly, to know that we have forgiveness through the sake of Your Son, and to know that You will cleanse us. Help us even today, Father. We pray that You would forgive us of our sins and turn our hearts always to You. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.